In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.
Amen.
If you were asked to design the curriculum here, what classes would you have offered? And what attributes would you instruct the admissions department to look for in applicants into the Master of Divinity program? Now, as you begin formulating your answers, I'd like you to picture in your mind's eye your perfect model of pastor. All set? Good. So, how many of you at this moment have visions of John the Baptist dancing in your heads? Not many, I suspect. But despite the Baptist's peculiar anti-cultural and anti-social ways, the Lord Jesus ends this morning's gospel reading by praising St. John, thereby ratifying his divinely appointed station as Elijah, forerunner, voice in the wilderness. No doubt, for his part, John didn't want any of the ballyhoo that surrounded him as he faithfully went about his divinely appointed tasks. Remember, this was the man who said of Jesus, "He must increase, but I must decrease." No, John did not want accolades. But faithfulness such as his seldom goes unnoticed, although oftentimes this recognition comes in ways that we don't want or expect. Come to think of it, that's what got John into trouble, wasn't it? False expectations, ones which caused him to question the lordship of Christ, because the kingdom of God had yet to come in its full power and might. No, John did not get caught up in any of the ballyhoo surrounding him. And so that makes St. John a good sight better off than those of us who are gathered here, those of us who so often stumble both at the prospect of decreasing, as well as an apparent failure of God's kingdom to meet our faulty expectations. It's true. Who among us doesn't want to be noticed and recognized? So much so that if that recognition comes in the form of controversy, so be it. At least people know who we are. In a moment of weakness, the Baptist wanted the threshing floor cleared and the chaff burned with unquenchable fire, and he wanted it now. And that self-same spirit then, what damage are we doing to this kingdom that certainly comes by itself without our prayer? Are we truly decreasing by allowing it to be the Lord's word that forgives, feeds, and strengthens? Or do we succumb to the temptation to add a little bit of our own to help things along? And please don't hear me wrong. Certainly, I'm not suggesting that we become like John by wearing a smelly old coat, subsisting on some sort of exotic diet, or copying his particular brand of unusual behavior. Remember, these things had meanings other than total craziness to the people of his day. But just as certainly, there is a way in which we must imitate John. Namely, that in our moments of need, our moments of sinfulness, our times of temptation, we must, with St. John, turn to Jesus for answers. St. John's mistake, no more his sin, was that he expected things not included in the divine plan. Therefore, we ask, during this season of Advent, what are we to expect and prepare for? After all, the Lord's command, "Go tell what you see and hear," applies to us. So what exactly is it that we see and hear that we might tell? Well, the summary of the prophet's expectations concerning the Christ and his kingdom was given by Jesus himself when he arrived at Nazareth and opened that scroll in the synagogue. The Lord has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. So we ask again, given this prophetic, inspired expectation, what do we see and hear in the church that we might have something worth telling? After all, it is in the Christian church, where two or three are gathered in Jesus' name, that he begins to work. And this, then, it seems that today we, the spiritually poor and afflicted, have come to a Bethlehem of sorts, haven't we? Yes, this is a type of Bethlehem. That the Holy Christian Church is a place of birth, or more accurately, as I look at that font back there, rebirth. For here, in this place, the one named Jesus, for he has saved his people from their sins, freely gives of himself. This gift starts with those of us who have arrived haughty and content in our sins, as we receive from his own hand the sour food that brings up feelings of guilt and unworthiness, so that the way is leveled for the Savior to come. Thank God if we are led to this Bethlehem with guilty feelings. Thank God that we arrive in our sin, for truly we may leave those feelings and that sin here and depart with a clean slate. John said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And again we say, thank God for the soothing sound of his voice. And yes, you heard rightly, soothing. For like any good pastor, John the Baptist could preach the gospel too. In Bethlehem of old, God entered the world as true man to cancel our sin and take all guilt upon himself. Peace. The peace between God and people was accomplished beginning in Bethlehem and moving up the mountain to Calvary's hilltop, where the Lord of glory was crowned in blood. And so that selfsame Lord has made his way to us, coming first in water and word to make us a part of his kingdom. Our prayers are answered as a prophetic expectation is fulfilled among us today. The spiritually poor do hear the gospel. Our hearts are healed, and now we see that the Lord Jesus Christ is risen from the dead as he continues on his mission to eat and drink with sinners. I don't know what you have in mind for the seminary's curriculum or the spiritual discipline of your own pilgrimages to eternal life. But by God's grace and the sending of the Holy Spirit, he has caused that pilgrimage to begin and center on the Word made flesh. Take, eat, this is my body given for you. A voice cries out, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." And we who have been prepared by him respond, "Come to us, Lord Jesus." In the Spirit, our expectations will be fulfilled and surpassed this morning, as they will be now and forevermore. Praise be the holy name of Jesus, the coming one, who is our Emmanuel. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, strengthen and keep you in your hearts and minds to everlasting life. Amen.
Amen.